The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. The season is almost here and we are checking out the competition. It's a closer look at the Central Division's best teams. The Cubs caught the Cardinals in 2015, and then they carried that momentum into a World Series championship in 2016. Well, last year, the Brewers caught the banged-up Cubs. They won the division in a one-game playoff at Wrigley. And now what happens in 2019? We should point out that this podcast was recorded earlier this week before the Brewers had announced Corey Knebel's elbow injury on Thursday, so take that into account as we discuss the Brewers' bullpen in just a bit. We are excited to be joined by Jeff Levering, the radio voice of the Brewers. Jeff, glad to hear you survived the winter. I guess some of it's down in Arizona, but not an easy winter for anybody, right?
No, not at all. I mean, when you get a foot of snow and then a couple of days later it's minus 51 degrees outside with the wind chill, yeah, that's not an easy way to go. We're certainly happy that spring is here, no doubt.
Spring's here, baseball's here, finally. Brewers were a win away from their first World Series since 1982. I guess, do you think the torch has been passed by the Cubs, or do you think this rivalry is just getting warmed up in the division?
I think everything's just kind of getting warmed up, to be honest with you, Luke. You know, even though the Cubs, quote-unquote, had a down year last year, they still won 95 games, and that's with Baez having a phenomenal year. You had a down year from Chris Bryant and a down year from Anthony Rizzo, so to speak, and really no closer. Brandon Morrow spent half a season with the club in the major league. So, you know, you're looking at three big-time players that had, you know, somewhat of a down year, and the Cubs still won 95 games. Brewers just happened to get really hot at the right time, and the month of September was really good for them, and they put everything together. That bullpen was phenomenal with what the Brewers were able to do, and most of those guys are all coming back, and you know, they've added a little bit to it as well. So it's a really fun rivalry. The Cardinals got better in the offseason with the addition of Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller, so it's going to be a race to the finish with those three teams, the Brewers, the Cubs, and the Cardinals. I think, you know, I'm not big into predictions, but the team that ends up just a touch over 500 within the division record, they're probably going to be hoisting the division championship, that's for sure.
Well, I know the buzz is always Packer football in Wisconsin, but with the Bucks playing the way they're playing and the Brewers on the brink of this, and now Ken Rosenthal and Robert Murray, The Athletic, reporting that the Brewers are in talks with Craig Kimbrell. What would that bullpen look like if the Brewers could get that done?
I'd say for any offense that's facing the Brewers bullpen, it's a little scary. You know, you've got an all-star closer in Corey Knebel from a couple of years ago, a pair of all-stars in Jeremy Jeffress and Josh Hader from a year ago, and then you add a guy like Kimbrell potentially to the back end of that. You know, you're shortening the game to basically five innings, potentially four, from your starting pitcher, and then you can hand it off to the bullpen. So if the Brewers end up pulling that deal off, it would create one of the best bullpens that anybody has seen in the major leagues, and rivals, you know, the likes of the Yankees with what they've been able to build with Ottavino and Chapman and the like. So it's a really fun bullpen. That's even without a Craig Kimbrell, which is, again, just conjecture at this point, but the big four and the back end of the Brewers bullpen, when Jeffress finally becomes healthy, probably in the middle of April, it's as good as anybody in the major leagues. And it's exciting when you know, the Brewers had a tough run there for a little while, 15 and 16, and they decided to rebuild everything, and it's come to fruition pretty quickly. I know the Cubs dealt with it as well, getting a bunch of number one picks, and they've turned it into a World Series championship and a division perennial champion over the last couple of years. But it's been fun to watch the excitement with this team and with the city. And yeah, the Bucks are playing well. You got two teams within the state of Wisconsin that are in the NCAA tournament with Wisconsin and Marquette. So it's still fun that the buzz is around the Brewers, and the fact that they're even having conversations with some of the top players and top free agents in the game of baseball, it's a really good thing for the city and the state.
Well, I mean, Jeff, just from the Chicago perspective, it sure looks from here like the Brewers are going all in on this season. You know, that some of the one-year deals have been aggressive but also affordable. Mike Moustakas was drafted as a shortstop, but he played most of his career at third. Can he play second base every day? He certainly has the bat with 28 home runs last year.
Yeah, that's the hope, and he's acquitted himself very nicely at second base. Now, yesterday there were a couple of plays, a feed to second base that got a little bit botched, and some of the footwork is still coming from Mike Moustakas. He's been over on the left side of the infield for his whole career. Now he's over on the right side, so it's a big difference for him. He did a little bit of it last year within the Brewers shifting scheme, but I think he's going to be just fine. And when you look at what the potential batting order for the Brewers might be, you've got a guy like Mike Moustakas who had 28 home runs a year ago between the Brewers and Royals hitting in the seventh spot. That's a really deep lineup, and it's one that I know everybody within the Central Division is a little bit worried about. Because 1-7, I don't know if there's a better lineup right now that's running out there within the division. So it's I think he's done a nice job at second base. I think he's going to continue to do a nice job at second base. And the Brewers have some bench support just in case he falters a little bit. And you have a late inning situation too with substitutions, the way that Craig Counsell in this front office likes to move things around late in games.
And they added Grandal as a great catcher on another one-year deal. How much does he help the Brewers?
He helps them a lot. I mean, the Brewers over the last couple of years since the departure of Jonathan Lucroy have kind of pieced together their catching situation. Last year it was Manny Pena and Jeff Bandy at the beginning, and then Eric Kratz joined the team halfway through the season. This year you're going to get 120 starts, 125 starts at Yasmani Grandal. Having him go from a place previously like San Diego and then Dodger Stadium, two very pitcher-friendly ballparks, and then you put his left-handed bat, which he's going to hit from most of the time anyway, in a place like Miller Park, I mean, it starts to get a little bit crazy, like video game numbers on what he might be able to do over the course of the season at Miller Park. So it's going to be fun to watch. He's done a nice job defensively, and it's been fun, especially the spring training, watching him work at the pitchers, getting to know these guys. As soon as he signed with the Brewers, as soon as the ink was dry, and it might not have even been dry at that point, he was calling all the pitchers and saying, "Hey, listen, come down to Arizona. Let's get ourselves together, and let's throw some bullpens. I want to be able to figure out what you throw, what you like to throw." So he's been putting the work in on the defensive end, and he had a really bad National League Championship Series against the Crew, blocking balls, and he had a tough time throwing. He's cleaned that up, especially in the spring, and I look forward to seeing what he's going to be able to do over the course of the regular season.
Christian Yelich was so fun to watch at the end of the season, and unless you were a Cubs or Cardinals fan. I mean, he was unbelievable. Do you think he can repeat that in 2019? That's kind of a question Cubs fans are asking about Javier Baez. Can it happen again this year at that level?
Right. I mean, yeah, at that level, it's really tough to gauge, because he was as hot as anybody over the last 2.5 months of the season last year. To expect that, I mean, he almost hit 400 over the last 2.5 months of the season after the All-Star break. So to expect that, I think, would be a little bit lofty. But I mean, he's continued here in the spring. I think he's hitting close to 500, if he's not at 500 right now, at the first 10 or 15 games that he's played. He's just incredible. And he came into this season and said, "I don't even want to talk about last year. It's all about 2019 and what we did. And you know, it's all we. It's never me. It's never I." I don't even think he says "I" unless he's got something in his eye, to be honest with you. And that doesn't even happen. So he's just all about the team, and he's about getting himself better and trying to be the best version of himself and a great teammate. And I mean, all the cliches that you want to run out there, I hate saying them, but it's so true with Christian, because he's just such a special human being and a great player. And heck, he's even a decent actor now after he was in Magnum PI for an episode. So
I heard about
he
that.
Really, I know, and he did a good job. He did a good job. I appreciated the Photoshop of the mustache that Cut 4 put together, but I mean, the hope is that he's able to do what he did last year, and if the guys are on base ahead of him, like Lorenzo Cain and Braun and Aguilar and Shaw behind him, it's going to be a good year for that offense.
You know, I'm a fan of trading for a known and giving up prospects. I would do that 9 times out of 10, but Cubs fans now are going to have to watch Eloy Jimenez and Dylan Cease play for the rival White Sox in town, the two guys they gave up to get Quintana. What did the Brewers give up for Yelich? There just can't be any regrets after watching him play last year.
No, you really can't. I mean, they gave up 3 of their top 10 prospects, and you know, prospects are only as good as other teams view them and as you view them as well and as you rank them. So the Brewers gave up a pretty good second baseman, Nissan Diaz, who's going to be in AAA this year for the Marlins. Lewis Brinson, who's going to be a great player at some point, but he hasn't been able to prove it at the major league level consistently. You know, that was a tough guy to give up. Monte Harrison, who could be a Bo Jackson type of player, but comparisons are comparisons for a reason, but you got to be able to prove that as well. And a young pitcher named Jordan Yamamoto, who was in AA last year. So if all of those guys end up going to the big leagues and helping the Marlins, then it's a good deal for the Marlins too. But I mean, you give up a guy like Christian Yelich with all of that control and a pretty decent salary for the Brewers to be able to work with over the next few years for 4 players that, you know, if you look at it, could be, and, you know, you've got the asterisk next to the could be, it's tough to swallow if you're a Marlins fan, but those are the moves they had to make. I mean, they had an all-star outfield with Ozuna and Yelich and Stanton, and they gave them all away. And they got a ton of guys in the process, and they cut payroll. But at the same time, if you're Marlins fan, you go, oh, my gosh, here we go again. The Brewers, you do that deal 99 times out of 100, and you don't even think about it because of what you get in Yelich, the player and the person.
Totally agree with that. You know, I guess from the Chicago perspective, and I don't like using this word like a weakness of a team, but I guess the unknown for maybe the Brewers might be the starting rotation, but you get a guy back. It looks like Jimmy Nelson's coming back from that shoulder injury. That's not as common as coming back from Tommy John anymore. Shoulders are a little more iffy. What do the Brewers expect from him this year?
Well, I think they're going to be careful with expectations, and they're certainly going to limit innings, too. He hadn't pitched competitively since September of 2017 when he banged up that shoulder at Wrigley Field. After he hit a ball off the wall, was thinking about stretching it into a double and stopped and came back and slid back into first base and basically tore his shoulder in 3 different places. It's been a long road for Jimmy, but he threw 3 really good innings out of the bullpen a couple of days ago in a major league game. He's supposed to go 4 innings or 65 pitches on Thursday. So he's going to start the year in AAA, kind of build his stamina back up. But to expect 150 innings from Jimmy Nelson, I think, would be a little bit premature for Brewers fans. It's really nice to have him there, but they are going to limit his innings, and rightfully so, coming off the injury. But his stuff looks electric. You know, the Brewers starting pitching behind Yoli Cassin, who was really good last year for the Brewers. And Chase Anderson is going to eat some innings, and Zach Davies, who will do the same thing, and hopefully they can get back to what they were in 2017 as opposed to 18. And then you've got the fireballers at the back end with Woodruff and Corbin Burnes and Freddie Peralta. And they have plenty of arms to the Brewers, but you're relying on guys that had great postseason success, Burnes, Woodruff, and Peralta, of course. And if they don't make the rotation there at the back end of your bullpen to provide one-inning spurts or potentially multiple innings at times. So they've got some coverage. No team anymore goes through the season with just 5 starting pitchers. Everybody knows that now. So having that depth and the quality of arms at their disposal is something the Brewers really, really are excited about.
Well, you talked about it at the beginning. How do you see the Central? I think every team in the division has improved, so I'm not sure what the win total is going to be or take to win the Central. But how do you think the Central plays out this year?
It's a great question. You're right, because every team did improve. Even the Pirates, who seems like they pitch so well. They've done such a nice job on the pitching side for the last, I don't want to call it 10 years or so. They've got great starting pitching, Tyone and Archer among them. Their bullpen's iffy, even though they've got Felipe Rivero at the back end, or Felipe Vasquez, I should say now. But he's done such a nice job at the back end of the bullpen. The Pirates are going to be competitive. It's always tough going to PNC Park and trying to score runs. The Reds got significantly better. Their offense was always scary, but adding a guy like Puig and Matt Kemp to it makes it even more scary. Plus, they've actually got some pitching, and former Brewers coach Derek Johnson is going to do a nice job with their starters and bullpen guys as well. I don't know how it's all going to shake out, to be honest with you, Luke. I like I said before, the team in the division with their divisional record that's at 500, just maybe above 500, I think wins the division. It's going to be a gauntlet, I can tell you that much, and maybe 90 wins is what it's going to take. And I think everybody went into last year kind of saying the same number, and the Brewers had to win 96 to win the championship, and it took 163 games to do it. So I'm kind of sticking with my first to 90 wins the division. I think that's a pretty decent number.
Yeah, I agree with you. Our David Kaplan here loves to quote a Chuck Tanner rule that he once told him, that a team with six players having a career year in a season, the next year he says they take a step back. How would Craig Counsell or the Brewers respond to something like that? Is that a challenge to the Brewer baseball team?
I think it is, and they've heard it all season long and all off season long, and it's the term regression is one that's kind of stuck in the Brewers clubhouse for a little while. They think because outsiders think just because people had some great years and Jesus Aguilar coming alive last year and finally getting an opportunity, and Christian Yelich doing what he did, people think that, well, they're not going to be able to do it again this year. They might. You never know. You got to go out there and you got to play. There's more depth. You're more hungry after you come up a game short of going to the World Series for the first time since 1982. And for a lot of these players, I mean, it's nice to have guys in the clubhouse like Mike Moustakas and Lorenzo Cain, who went through this as a member of the Kansas City Royals a couple of years ago in 14 and 15, came up short in Game 7 against the Giants, and then go out and win it in 2015 against the Mets. You have that veteran leadership of guys who have been in the clubhouse, guys that have done it before, that can help lead the team and keep the eye on the prize. David Stearns and Craig Counsell, there's this great documentary that was released not too long ago called Free Solo. Have you heard about this, Luke?
Yes, I've seen. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it on my, I think on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it's insane. So I watched it the other night, and I still get goosebumps of just thinking about some of the aerial shots of this guy who's climbing up El Capitan in Yosemite with no ropes.
Wow.
So it's a weird correlation, but David Stearns and Craig Counsell have all talked about, hey, listen, this guy is so prepared going into climbing this mountain where with one little misstep, not only do you fail in your mission, but you're dead, right?
So, right.
I mean, that's the ultimate, hey, listen, we're not trying to compare ourselves to what this guy's trying to do, climbing a mountain by himself with nothing but the rock next to him. But it's kind of the analogy of, hey, listen, we're all in this thing together. We have to prepare ourselves for what's ahead. It's not just this first step. It's thinking a couple of steps ahead and what our preparation is going to be in the spring to lead us to potentially getting to the top of the mountain. It's I would encourage everybody to watch it. It's phenomenal. It keeps you on the edge of your seat. But it's a really nice kind of like life lesson. Watch this thing and you know, be in awe of it. If you have height problems, don't, because you're going to have anxiety. But it's insane, and it's kind of been the overlying concepts that the Craig Counsell and David Stearns have been sending to the team this spring.
I'm going to leave those types of challenges to other people. I'm terrified of heights, although I watched one called, also on Netflix, Dawn Wall, and it's about a guy who has a tremendous life story, and he tries to climb the Dawn Wall, I believe, at Yosemite. Nobody had ever done it, and it's very similar to that type of story. I have one more question for you, Jeff.
Yep.
Your radio partner's Bob Uecker, right?
He's
85 now. Give us something surprising about working with Bob Uecker.
Well, surprising. I mean, he's been so great to me. This is my fifth year with the Brewers organization. He's just been almost like a grandfather or a really good friend over the last couple of years. And our relationship has been really good. I think one thing that people don't realize about Bob is how giving he is charity work. He does a bunch of stuff with the Make-A-Wish Foundation. For a long time, he used to go to the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee just by himself, just to try and cheer up the kids. He did that for 15 years, almost every day. He's just a really special human being. I have two kids. I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and my son always comes in, and he doesn't even care about saying hi to me. He always wants to go over and say hi to Bob because he's got a bubble gum for him every single time. So it's, hey, Dad, okay, where's Bob? Let me go say hi. He's just so giving, and he's a great, great human being. He's hilarious, of course, and he's so funny, and we've got a great bond, and nothing is ever light in the booth, and it's just, it's great to work with him and to sit next to him during that run last year, working as much as he did. He worked a month straight for the first time in the last couple of years. But just to sit next to him during the celebrations and when he's pulling the ripcord and the celebrations and stuff, it's almost like he decreased in age 30 years. And that was really, really, really fun to be a part of. He was as strong as ever during the postseason. And, just being a part of that and sitting next to him is something I'll never be able to forget. And I cherish it forever.
And people should know, I saw that the players gave him a playoff share, and he took that money, and then he put it right back into charity. It wasn't like he went out and bought a new car with it.
No, he didn't. He took every single dollar and donated it to a handful of charities in Milwaukee. And just goes to show how giving he is. And to get a playoff share is very rare for a broadcaster, and it almost never happens. I mean, I didn't get a penny of it, and I didn't expect to. but I'm glad that they gave Bob that entire the entire full share. I mean, he relishes being in the dugout and being in the clubhouse before games, and you know, he's just like one of the guys. He gives it, he takes it. It's a really fun relationship to watch with the players interacting with Bob.
Jeff, this has been a blast. Cubs fans, if you want to know what the Brewers are up to this year, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at JLevering4. Is that correct, Jeff?
Yeah, that's it.
All right, we'll be following you this year. Jeff, thanks for your time, and have a great season.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Luke.
Thank you. Opening day is almost here. Make sure you subscribe to the Cubs Talk podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google, Art19, Spotify. You can find us all over the place. So don't miss out on any episode this season. We will be busy. I'm Luke Stuckmart. Thanks for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.